Hi, film addicts. Welcome to the show. Today we have a very special guest. We have Dan Fergone, or Fergone if you're Italian. He is a TV director at DreamWorks Animation, and he's worked on some amazing projects you've probably heard of: Boss Baby, Back in Business, Kung Fu Panda, The Paws of Destiny, and also Adventures of Puss in Boots. Let's welcome Dan Fergone to the show. Dan, welcome.
Thanks, Marilyn. Happy to be here.
I'm so glad to have you. Wow, just it's amazing to be a TV director in animation, and especially at DreamWorks. So congratulations. Can you let everyone know that's listening where you are recording live with me today?
Sure. I'm in Valencia, California.
Valencia. So that's a little bit north of Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, about 30 minutes north.
Oh, great. So are you able to work from home right now still, or do you have to commute?
Yeah, no, I've been working from home since the beginning of the pandemic, and we've been going strong since.
Yeah.
I was really missing a beat.
And so there are some pleasures and fun joys with that, because I had the privy to see a wonderful ballerina that's going to be a tree, and the Nutcracker, is that correct?
Yeah. My oldest daughter, she's actually at rehearsal right now, but her and her sister both go to the same ballet class or school, and this age group gets to be in like the big kids performance. So all the older kids are doing the actual play, and then the little kids get to be like little prop, stage prop characters.
I love it. So I love I love the Nutcracker. And also, if you want to listen to the Nutcracker, we have a special on Enchanting Book Readings podcast. And we also have Prima Ballerina for those of you who have kids out there. So I want to ask you, Dan, so where did you grow up? Like, where did your fabulous career, where did it all begin? Like, where did you grow up?
I grew up in New Jersey.
So you grew up in New Jersey. Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I grew up in New Jersey with four siblings, two brothers, two sisters, big family of six. And I really didn't know anything about animation other than I wanted to be in it when I was a kid. It was like my astronaut dream, because I had no exposure to anything in the industry. I could draw for the whole day, my mom used to say. Like, she would just put crayons and papers in front of me, and I would just sit and draw. And that was like my babysitter for a lot of times, where I would just keep busy for hours. And but growing up, like, there was no real exposure to anything that's animation related. So I just assumed it was something that I would never be able to, you know, pursue as a career. So growing up, when I went into school and by the time I was in high school, I was heavily into sports. I didn't really draw much, at least not at that point, but I still could. By my senior year in high school, I wanted to get easy grades, and so I took two art classes.
To get easy grades.
It was my senior year. I was heavily in competing with wrestling. So that was kind of like that was my meal ticket to get a scholarship and go wrestle and then become a coach and everything else. My senior year, I just wanted to relax and, you know, focus on wrestling and focus on football and sports and just graduate. And I just knew I would get easy A's. No, like, I didn't even have to try. And the teacher that I had, she just took a liking to the stuff I did. She entered it into shows, and it started to win awards around town. And I just was like, you really need to consider pursuing a career in art. And that was the first seed. But at that point, I was already committed to going somewhere to wrestle and you know, pursue phys ed. But it was something that kind of stuck in the back of my head once she exposed me to the idea that maybe it could be possible. She started talking about schools and people that she knew and stuff, and she really pushed me to really think about it.
That's amazing to have a teacher or a mentor or someone that spots your talent as an artist and that has like some concrete suggestions and friends, like what schools to go to, what friends to, and to direct you into a direction. But you know, your course, you're in high school, you're wrestling, you love sports. And also, can you share with everyone your favorite all-time football team?
New York Giants.
Go New York Giants, right. So you're thinking sports and wrestling, like who, like Hulk Hogan, right? You know.
Well, that was my kid. That was the kid version of me that liked Hulk Hogan, but I was more into like collegiate and the Greco-Roman, actually, which was like the Olympic style wrestling.
Oh, wow.
So I competed in state tournaments and national tournaments for all throughout high school. So, it was a big part of my life for a long time.
Well, then I have to ask you, growing up then, what was some of your, what was one of your favorite movies? Or if you have a couple, you know, share with us.
I mean, I was a Disney kid, without a doubt. Like the trifecta of in the 90s of Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, and Aladdin were really what probably were the strongest sources of my love for animation. I mean, all the other ones too, but, those were probably the biggest ones that really turned me on to it, because I could draw, so I knew like it attracted me. And then as I got older, I mean, I think high school, because I was so involved in sports, I had a lot of downtime where I didn't do stuff, because I didn't, you know, I didn't go out a lot, I didn't drink, I didn't do any of those things. So my biggest pastime was to go to the video store, and I had a really close friend there who would just let me take movies out for free. I won't say his name on the store, but the store is out of business. I watched a lot of movies, and I don't think it really registered just how much they influenced me until later on when I got to college and started to really get into this industry, because it was something that I just enjoyed doing. But it didn't seem like anything to me at the time, but now I look at it more as like research.
Yeah. So, did you have a favorite Criterion film?
It's funny. It's amazing how many movies you don't realize are Criterion movies. But, I recently had a break from DreamWorks where I was going on a bunch of interviews, and that was probably one of the top questions I got asked by a lot of recruiters. And it was amazing to see the responses when you would say things that people expected, but which made me kind of dig a little bit deeper. And I would have to say that, hands down, one that I kind of overlook a lot is The Princess Bride. And it's one of those movies that I can watch every single time it's on TV or playing, because it's like watching it the first time, because I always find something new. And it's such an incredible movie. And I think after starting to read the behind the scenes of the movie, I have a much deeper appreciation, because it had such a hard time to get made, and like no one wanted to make it. And it has just such an interesting history, and for something that was so hard to get done, they did a fantastic job with it.
And like, what do you have, a favorite line from the movie or a favorite scene, like that just stands out in your mind, that's why it just recalls so beautifully to you?
Every one of them. I mean, I think anyone, it's hard to pick one because there's so many amazing actors in it, but I love the moments with Andre the Giant. It kind of adds a whole nother level to that film that just gave it the right amount of innocence, but also humor.
Yeah, you know, innocence and humor, those are some beautiful themes. And I, as you guys know, since I'm Italian, I always like Federico Fellini, La Dolce Vita, The Bicycle Thief, and just The Miracle Milan. Like, I just find those films so fascinating that you, when you watch them, they just carry you away, and they're just so breathtaking and just really moving and poignant and just really just stylizes a human being, and like what's it like to be a person that goes through some serious things. And and also the Big Camel is one of my favorites. But you know, Princess Bride, yeah, it's you sometimes like we forget that that's a Criterion film, so that's a beautiful one.
I had to search for it. That's been my number one answer lately, and I was pleased to find that it was definitely one of the criterions. But I have a list of other ones that would, I mean, Silence of the Lambs and Crash and all the others. It's just, I haven't watched them in so long, some of them not since art school. But
yeah. Well, our listeners love finding out when our directors come on here, like what's their favorite Criterion film and who's their favorite director and what's their influence. So they really listen, love enjoying our guest speakers talk about their favorite movies. And coming up, do you have a favorite film director? And can you share a favorite film shot that you love since you're a director and give us a little?
There's a ton of directors, obviously Spielberg, Ron Howard, all the typical ones you expect to hear, but giving it some thought, one of my favorite ones right now, I think just from some recent work, is Todd Phillips, who did The Hangovers, and then he did The Joker. And I think what really stuck out for me was just how he was able to go from something like The Hangover into The Joker, which is so deep, dark, and heavy. And just the subtext and everything else in that. It was my favorite Batman comic movie, or non-comic movie, I guess you could call it, to date. And I would love to see more from that world, because it's just the crossover between bringing the real world, like, problems and mental health issues into that comic world and infusing the two is just a whole different take that I feel like just needs to be explored.
I mean, the Joker, wow, you know, and like you said, going from The Hangover to The Joker. And can you also share your subtext shots a little bit?
In The Joker, they have one where he's climbing down the stairs in a point where he kind of realizes that he's kind of down on his luck, but he's kind of joyful about it in a way. It's a brilliant scene because it says so much, and it's so simple because it's just the way he's walking down these long stairs, and it's him like reaching bottom, and like there's so much that's explained in just one single shot. Where I had heard in the commentary later on that originally it was scripted as him walking through town and getting bullied and pushed around and stuff like that. And it was amazing the choice that they chose, because I think if they had done it the other way, it wouldn't have been as powerful, because it was him reflecting on it himself, and it really sold the moment. And there's another shot, and it's a completely different movie with a completely different tone, but it's one that I always tell my storyboard artists about, because it's the strength of it is just so clear and simple that it didn't really take much for the director to achieve it. But it's the movie The Proposal with Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock. And it was directed by Ann Fletcher, I believe.
Fletcher.
And it's a shot about halfway in the movie. It's when, I don't know if the listeners aren't familiar with it, the story is about a boss who forces her employee to get married so that she can stay in the country. And in doing so, he brings her to his home, brings her to his hometown to meet his family. And they try to do this whole ruse where they're lovers and in a relationship to try to fool the government, basically, and have to fool his family. So there's this scene halfway in the movie where they're both in the bedroom that they're sharing. Sandra Bullock's on the bed, and Ryan Reynolds is on the floor, and they're having a conversation. And it's amazing because both of them start on the opposite sides of the screen. And by the end of the scene, the director just cuts them closer and closer together, and the characters never move. And it's just so powerful to see, because it's the characters telling, like, expressing their feelings, and you can see that they're starting to kind of fall for each other. And just to see them go from one side of the screen to come closer together is just I don't know, it's the stuff that makes me geek out over.
Yeah, and those, I guess it's those little details really add. They're subtle, and but they really enrich the movie. And without saying or talking or telling it, it's just the visual, beautiful shot. So that's a great example. Thank you for sharing that. And I want to ask you. So you said you were starting wrestling. So how did you eventually get into your first? You know, did you go to school for animation? What changed you or turned a corner for you to go into animation?
About a year into school, I went to East Strasburg University, which is a small Pennsylvania school. I just kind of got bored. I was tired of classes. I was getting, you know, I was doing more drawing in classes than I was reading, you know, but I was still getting good grades, and I just didn't feel challenged. And it just dawned on me, like, this is not, I'm not going to be happy staying in this direction. So I figured, you know, my fallback would be trying this. But I knew at the time if I was going to do it, I had to do it right. And I had to do it, I was only going to be able to do it once. So the one school that my high school teacher had informed me about was the School of Visual Arts. So that was the only school I knew of that had animation. I had never heard of CalArts. I'd never heard of RISD. I'd never heard of Sheridan. I knew nothing about the animation industry at all, except I was going on the advice of my teacher. So I took a year off and worked at a restaurant and built a portfolio, applied the following spring, and then I got into the School of Visual Arts in 2000, I think, or 2000, yeah, 2001. I started in the computer animation department, and then in about the second semester, I moved over to the animation department and stayed there for for 4 years. I mean, it was great to live. I never wanted to live in New York City, but I'm so thankful that I did. It's probably one of the greatest cities I've ever been in. And I think the exposure there was amazing. But that was my first real taste of, like, the animation industry. And going into it, I knew that I was going to have to come out to California at some point. So I knew there was a lot of big changes coming up. And it was one of those things where I just had to do it.
And you did. And so you have some award-winning, you worked on some award-winning Animaniacs. And what was your first project? You were doing MTV series Good Vibes, Dick Figures, and a few animation community and you worked with the crew at the 6 Point Harness. Was that the first job that you had, 6 Point Harness?
That was the first job out here in LA. I graduated from School of Visual Arts in 2005, and I stayed in New York for a while working on a number of things. I started on a Nickelodeon show called Kappa Mikey.
Nice.
And then I moved on to Ellen's Acres, which never aired. And then that was all with a small studio in New York. And I stayed in New York to do commercials and work on some other small projects. I worked for a great studio called Dancing Diablo, which was in Brooklyn, which is a very artist-driven studio, where I got to work on a lot of Sesame Street stuff and other kind of quirky little projects that I loved working on. And then later on, I ended up at a place called Flickr Lab, where I became the animation director. And that's kind of where my career started to shift, because that was when animation was starting to leave New York. A lot of the studios were starting to do, like, ebooks and get into, like, apps and stuff like that. And the studio I was working on was doing that. So I knew if I didn't get out of there soon, I would be stuck, you know, in a position that I didn't want to be in. Even though they were so great to work for and everything, it's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to be in TV or film. At that point, I wanted to be in film. TV was never attracted to me, at least TV animation, because it wasn't as full or complete in my mind, you know, for story-wise and quality-wise. So 2009, that's when I was at that studio, and it became clear that I needed to start moving. You know, and at that point, I'd already met my wife. We had been married, and she knew from day one that I was planning to move out here, so she was on full on board with it. But we stuck it out because we have both have family, and you know, I was doing well. You know, I kept getting jobs, but I was reaching a point where I wasn't going to go any higher. You know, both in salary and positions, and the opportunities were fewer and fewer. So I took a week off and I came out here to California for a week and met with a bunch of studios. So I met with a bunch of studios, a bunch of people, and I tried to make as many contacts, meet and greets with either friends of friends or studio executives. And I met a lot of great people, including the guys at Six Point Harness, and they really liked my work. And almost they pretty much offered me a job on the visit, but they were waiting for a green light. So on good vibes. So I went home after the week and just waited for their call. And then when they finally did it, my wife and I packed up.
And then you came to LA. And then, yeah, and so then you also worked for Titmouse Studios on Disney's Random Cunningham, the Ninth Grade Ninja, and you just did so many amazing things. And so how did you go? You did a little bit at Warner Brothers too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I had two stints at Warner Brothers. One was on Teen Titans Go, actually. That was a little bit earlier in the career when I first moved out here. I didn't last very long on there. It was one of my first boarding jobs as a storyboard artist. And I think my greenness was probably the main reason why I didn't stick around. It was a very disappointing thing for me because that felt like it was my first big break. But then it was just when one door closes, another one opens. So I ended up going back to Six Point after that, and I worked on the Dick Figures movie, which I had just listened to your interview with John Evershed from Mondo Media. He was one of my bosses back then.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I animated on the Dick Figures movie, and shortly after that, I got a call from Titmouse to come work on Randy Cunningham. There's a producer that I had worked with at Dance and Diablo back in New York, knew I was out there, and called me. So it was and I hadn't heard from her in years, but she just found out that I was in LA and was like, I need someone. And she brought me on board. And then I was kind of like that was my gateway into storyboarding, because I got into, storyboard revisions on the second season of Randy Cunningham. And shortly after that, Mike got another call from a high school friend who, I went to high school in New Jersey.
Wow.
So one of my friends who was a year or two younger than me, and a good friend of a brother of a close friend of mine, and he was an executive. He was a development executive for Nickelodeon for a long time. And he had kind of keeping in touch here and there, knowing that I was in animation. But then DreamWorks TV was starting up a division, and he was part of the team that started it. So he called me to lunch. He's like, how would you like to come work with me at DreamWorks? And I said, hell yeah. And I met the boss, or the showrunner of Puss in Boots, and he really liked my stuff, and the rest is history. I mean, I got in there, and I had to work hard. I won't lie. I was very underprepared for it. And I always consider that show my boot camp, because without it, I don't think I would be here.
Oh, wow. So, well, you know, you worked on so many things, like the Emmy Award-winning Amnax at Warner Brothers, and then you went to DreamWorks TV with a friend from high school in New Jersey. Wow. It's like they say luck and timing and due diligence. So sometimes just meeting the right people, but then you were able to do the work and then pull the mustard, because now you're an amazing TV director at DreamWorks Animation, working on amazing things. Everyone loves Kung Fu Panda. Hello, come on, and Puss in Boots. And I want everyone to like go to your website to check out your art, to see what kind of art you do, because you do fantastic art. It's www.danforgone.com. It'll be in the summary description, but I just want to say congratulations. Like, you're such an amazing career from, you know, wrestler, astronaut, hopeful, to now doing your dream job of drawing and being a director at one of the top studios, DreamWorks Animation. Really just lovely, just very lovely. Yeah, and where can everyone keep up with you and see your work? Like, where did they go see all your fabulous shows you worked on?
We can find all this, my personal work, I mean, my work that I've done on my website, because it's all storyboards, so it's stuff that you won't see in the final show, but all the shows that I've worked on are on streaming channels, either Netflix or Puss in Boots is on Netflix, and so is Boss Baby, and Kung Fu Panda is on Amazon.
Amazing. So Puss in Boots, you can see, of course, Netflix. I think everybody's on Netflix, and Boss Baby, and Kung Fu Panda and Paws of Destiny are on Amazon. And if you check out danforgone.com, you can see all his amazing artworks. So really fantastic. Just so happy to have you on here. Is there anything else coming up in the new year that you're working on that you want to share with our listeners?
I wish I could, but I might have to come back on to do it.
Okay, yeah, we're going to have to invite you back. And yeah, it's amazing. And so is there any social media you want them to follow you on? Like on TikTok, Sneakies, Maryland Artists. Are you on TikTok? Are you Instagram? Are you on
Twitter? I'm on Instagram. Mostly it's my art, I mean my family stuff, but I do post art every now and then, or links to my work.
Okay, it's under Dan Forgone as well?
Yep.
Okay, great. Well, that, well, at least we can just stick with one name. I guess I'm reducing my name down to Sneakies too. So Dan, it's so lovely to have you on, and you know, we want you to come back, and any show that you have coming up. You're just a fantastic guest. And just thank you everyone for listening, and just want to wish everyone a happy holidays and a very happy new year. Stay healthy. And thank you so much for listening and tuning in. Thank you so much, Dan.
Thank you.